When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, guys, welcome back to Establish the Pass podcast presented by Clutch Points. I'm your host, Blake Lovell. With me, as always, my co-host, Dylan Reagan, back here after a nice little summer break, I guess you could call it, Dylan. You were having some fun in the sun, and meanwhile, we've all been just waiting on more NFL stuff, and this is when things start to really kick into gear. Training camp, season just around the corner, preseason. Dylan, when you start looking forward to preseason games, that's when you know that you're ready for football to start because, preseason games are usually, well, preseason games, but we're almost there, and before you know it, things will be kicking off. So fun time of year, and of course that means we get to start our usual sort of top 10 breakdowns as we look at some of these top positions. And of course we start with the quarterback position, which as always is a very interesting group to try to rank 1 through 10.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good to be back. It's been a fun few weeks. It was tactful for our trip for a couple of our honeymoon for a couple of reasons to be when it was. We summer break for my wife, and then also obviously getting right back before training camps started up. So good timing for this stuff. We'll have probably a little less time for these top 10 lists than usual with our previews coming out pretty soon here. But obviously had to still do the quarterbacks, and as we've talked about over the whole off season, it's a list that's going to be dominated by likely AFC quarterbacks. I think there are probably at least two NFC guys that are going to be on this list, maybe three. But after that, it's a one conference definitely has a just absolutely stacked Super Bowl expectations for multiple teams, and it's all led from this position. So yeah, it's a lot of fun, and as much as we'll dive into everything about all these teams, it's easier at the start at least to kind of go from the top down with the most important position, obviously. And obviously some big news with Herbert's extension and all the different things that have gone on with these guys, Rodgers in his first camp with the Jets. And yeah, it's already been off to a pretty fun start with the situations. Now I think Burrow's the guy with the next extension coming up, probably going to be the highest paid quarterback again. And that'll make probably Mahomes the eighth highest paid quarterback, which is hilarious because I'm pretty sure he's going to probably start our list. I believe he started our list last year. I know some people have ranked him in previous seasons, maybe on the two line behind Allen going into last year. I don't believe that was us. And that's a good thing because Mahomes proved that even without Tyreek Hill and everything that happened last year, that he's still the best quarterback on the planet.
Yeah, I mean, there's really no, like you said, there's no debate here. The only debate is who is going to actually make this first pick. Because as always, we have to decide who's going to make this pick, and it will be very easy for one of us. But we're going to go with the honor system as usual, and we all know where I'm going back to because I do this all the time. Heads or tails, we go to our online heads or tails coin toss here. Dylan, I'm going to be heads, you're going to be tails.
Perfect.
Again, honor system, I will be the one on the honor system here. So here we go, we're going to flip this thing. And it comes up as tails. Oh, man. So you get the easy choice at number one. So Dylan's going to be drafting 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9. And that, unfortunately, is going to put me in the unenviable position of having to be number two. But Dylan, I assume you're going to go Patrick Mahomes at number one.
Yeah, going Mahomes at the top, I got the much better position for a few reasons, as I outlined to you right before we started recording, where I think the number nine quarterback is. So, man, happy to be here at number one. But, yeah, no, Mahomes, as much as we gush all the time about Joe Burrow on this podcast, obviously Josh Allen as well and all these guys, but we kind of have talked about this too, that sometimes with greatness over time you just start to expect it, and you got to like step back at times to appreciate it. I think that quarterback documentary on Netflix, I'm not sure if you've been watching that yet, has you see all the behind the scenes stuff with Mahomes. We know how great he is, but when you're away from watching live games for a while, and then you come back to seeing it, then it does kind of hit you again that this guy is just not normal. There's been some fantastic QBs over the course of NFL history. Where he ends up in that stacks up, I know some people have already said had kind of talking head personalities on that show that have already said, proclaimed he's the greatest quarterback of all time. I'm not going to say that, but at this moment in the NFL and really the last few years, even when Brady was still playing, it's hard to deny that pretty quickly Mahomes became the top guy. Just his efficiency, everything that some of these other really talented physical guys can do, and then just the ability to win. I mean, obviously he's been blessed with having Andy Reid as his coach, and at times some really talented players around him, and just a great overall culture there in Kansas City. But he makes it as much as anything too. I'd have a hard time believing that he wouldn't be successful in any with any team with his ability to make things happen off platform. Just makes every single throw just ridiculously tough. All the injuries that he went through, you know, last year obviously with the knee thing against the Jaguars, all the different things he was banged up with, all the hits he took in Super Bowl 55 when they got blown out by the Bucks, and still played his butt off. So yeah, I mean, he's easily number one for me, as much as I'm the biggest Josh Allen and Joe Burrow fan out there. Two guys that it's become that appointment TV for me to watch those two QBs. I just love everything they do. But yeah, Mahomes has to be number one on this list.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think if I'd had the number one choice, there wouldn't have been much debate on that. I think Mahomes is a clear choice there at number one. Unfortunately, Dylan, I don't think there is a clear choice at number two. I think this is where it's very interesting to compare and contrast when it comes to my opinion. I think it's two guys. I think it's Joe Burrow and Josh Allen. And, man, I just don't know. It's very hard to kind of separate these two. And I think that's where I'm having the most issues, trying to figure out what is the one thing perhaps that separates it. I mean, you know, you can obviously point out the things that Josh Allen can do with his legs. And if it's fantasy football, hey, I'm probably going Josh Allen. Probably 8 out of 10 times over Joe Burrow, maybe more, but it's not. It's kind of looking at the full picture. And so, oh man, this is a tough one for me. We've always kind of talked about that Joe Burrow just has that something, whatever that something is, that like he has it. Not that Josh Allen doesn't, but like there's just something about Joe Burrow and what he has, that it factor. Just the efficiency when it comes to passing and all those things. And so I'm going to go with Joe Burrow at number two. May not make Buffalo Bills fans happy. May not make Josh Allen happy. But this isn't – to me, this is like a 51-49 type thing. If you're trying to figure out, you know, the percentages or whatever and your confidence, like this is probably like a 51-49 for me in terms of picking between these two. But I'm going to go Joe Burrow just because I think, again, that – we talked about him since he came into the league. I think right away we sort of saw exactly, you know, the dynamic that he puts in place for a team and what they can do for them to make that run all the way to, you know, to a Super Bowl and those kind of things. So I'm going to go with Joe Burrow here at number two.
I don't blame you. I probably would have done the same if I was in that spot, as much as I love Josh. It's hard to deny, though, with the fact that yeah, as you mentioned, they made the Super Bowl, and they were a couple plays away, a couple little things that happened on their last drive before they gave the ball back to Kansas City, before the late hit away from winning back-to-back AFC title games at Arrowhead. And as much as, yeah, Josh is incredible, and in those situations where, you know, it's third and five, fourth and six, like the amount of, you know, going back to a couple years ago, when you really need to have it, whether it's throwing or running the ball, I mean, Josh, you can rely on him basically just to be like, just go get a bucket. And I believe to an extent it's different with Burrow, but I just have that confidence he's going to find a way to get it done the same kind of in his own way, but with the same kind of efficiency. And they're different players, obviously, but they both efficient in their own ways. But Joe is just a killer. And as much as the situations for each team in that divisional round game between the Bengals and Bills were different last year, it's hard to it's not really an apples to apples comparison between the two, how those games kind of played out, but it's hard to deny that the final score was quite heavily in favor of the Bengals. And Joe was just every single third down, it felt like He's just so cool. Made the right read, made the right throw. Obviously, the Bills' pass rush was not in the same places and playing as aggressive as that Bengals' defense was in that game. But I think, yeah, right now, if I had to make the selection, I'd agree with you. I'd go with number two with Joe Burrow.
Well, I mean, I think now, Dylan, that means you get the third choice, which, boy, I feel like it's a tough choice there. So you've had the fun spots of being at 1 and 3 because, like we said, it was pretty much a debate at number 2 between Joe Burrow and Josh Allen. So I think we can go ahead and pencil in you for Josh Allen at number 3.
Yeah, I was going to – that's why I kind of tried to say I would have gone with Burrow there at number 2 to be like, all right, I'm not going to take all the – just sit here not taking any shots at all. I would have probably put him in the spot. Some people may make the argument at this after what happened last season that Jalen Hurts could be number 3, I guess, or even Justin Herbert, depending on your opinion of what's happened with those guys over the course of the last couple of years. But I'm going with Josh, yeah. I still think – I know at times his accuracy last year – waned. I know he had some injuries that he was dealing with that I believe did play a part, and that's going to happen with the way that he plays the game of football. But at the same time, I still have to have him this at number 3. These three guys are kind of, in my opinion, the three faces, the three the Manning, Brady, Rivers, Roethlisberger, whatever you want to say of like this era, play very different than those guys did. And I think for as the game has evolved, it's been more efficient for the modern game. And Josh is just an absolute machine. When he's on, he has capability of obviously beating Mahomes. He has beaten him twice in the regular season. He has lost to him each time in the playoffs, but that they've faced, and obviously what happened last year against the Bengals. But I still think when things are right for him, this is one of the guys that's just on a different planet that can really elevate his team. Not even at times last year, I don't think Gabe Davis took exactly the hugest step forward. There was so much hype after the playoff game against the Chiefs where he had 4 touchdowns, what he was going to do. But I felt like at times last year with not exactly the richest deep receiving room, obviously Diggs is incredible, but I still felt like Allen just got things done. And I'm excited to see how the offense evolves this year. I know that, it was also an adjustment going from Dable to Dorsey last year, and wasn't always pretty early on. They started to figure things out, and I think he's just at the end of the day, between him and some of the guys behind him, I just think that the Bills put more on him to be like, just figure it out, kind of. Whereas maybe the answers are a bit more built in for Jalen Hurts. Not necessarily that Jalen's incredible, and I think he's going to be deservedly pretty quickly on this list and does make a lot of plays out of the scheme itself. But I just think with the Bills, it's like a lot of it's just Josh going out and making things happen. If things aren't pretty, he's going to just physical his way through. And when he is on with his passes deep down the field, those laser beams from like 40, 50 yards out are just so fun to watch. He's truly a unique player. So yeah, I feel pretty good about having him number 3 on this list.
Well, that unfortunately puts me in the position of coming up with number 4, because this is where, again, I think we're at a spot where you're kind of debating between multiple guys here. And I don't think this is necessarily a clearly defined, like we said, we knew Burrow and Allen were going to go 2-3 in some order, but I think like at 4, you could, there's a variety of, orders you could see now from here on out. And so I think this is where it gets challenging. I tell you, so in my mind, I'm debating back and forth between two guys. And one of the guys is probably not included in that may be surprising, but I'm curious to see where he lands on our list. But I think, Dylan, the more debating I do here, the more I kind of keep going back to it. And I think you have to – we talked about kind of with the Joe Burrow effect of being able to lead a team to a Super Bowl. And, to kind of prove – and people can say, well, you get it's a small sample size and, but what we saw was pretty fantastic from Jalen Hurts. And I think, that debate, and I think it's probably obvious, Justin Herbert's the other guy that I would put kind of in this conversation and trying to pick which one to put ahead of the other. But, and again, I think that's going to make it easier on you. But I don't know why. I think I'm going to go Jalen Hurts ahead of it, because I think right now, yes, like we could say, can he do it again this season? Well, I don't know. Justin Herbert's got Kellen Moore coming in. Does that help him in some of those areas? Perhaps. But even as an individual thing, even if we're not just looking at it as a team, aspect of getting to the Super Bowl and those kind of things, I just think all you just talked about some of the stuff with Jalen Hurts and what stands out, and like I don't know. I feel like I would give Jalen Hurts that edge right now because, man, what we saw last year was really – we've seen that trajectory from him, and not that we haven't from Justin Herbert, but I just – I love what I saw so much from Jalen Hurts, and I think that he's just got all the tools that you need. And, man, I think I'm going to give him the slight edge over Herbert here in our rankings.
Yeah, he took such a huge step forward last year, the way that he developed as a passer. They put a lot more, you know, after the what they figured out as an offense to make the playoffs in 2021, a lot of, you know, he was a highly drafted fantasy quarterback. He helped me win a fantasy title. Love you, Jalen, even though I didn't play in those playoff games. Jared Goff, nice relief there. But yeah, you know, all last season, going into the year, there was a lot of hype around him as a rusher and how the offense was going to be. Kind of along the lines of what it was in 2021, and that was not the case. They let it. He aired it out. Obviously, it does help having an AJ Brown and a Devontae Smith. Not a lot of teams have a top two where you feel like both guys are really number one receivers. Obviously, one of the best offensive lines in the league, one of the best running games, and just a great system overall. And I try not to take too much away from Jalen with that. I know at times that has been a criticism that, all right, if he wasn't in this situation. If he was on, so let's say even in this example right here with the Chargers and the Eagles, that the two guys were talking about, I know some people may argue that Herbert with the Eagles would have more successful, would be more successful than Hurts with the Chargers. If you were to swap them, it's just such different situations though. I do think I probably would have gone with Jalen as well here. May have given the nod to Herbert, may have even looked at other guys. I think this group of QBs in this area right here, like you said, there's a lot of different variations you could have. But I think Jalen, I mean, if anything, it's almost, this is a weird comparable my brain just went to, but there was, some criticism also with the Eagles having an easy path to the Super Bowl after the injuries to the quarterback position for the Niners going through the Giants and Niners. And a schedule that, you know, going into the year, we talked about how, oh, wow, they have one of the easiest schedules in the league. This is one of the best win-loss, win-total props to bet on. And sure enough, Philadelphia against the one seed. But, I mean, they basically, outside of that one freak fumble against the Chiefs and a couple plays here and there, they could have beat Kansas City and probably feel like they should have. And he's a huge reason why. It reminded me almost of how important one game can be to a guy's reputation, to what C.J. Stroud did against Georgia in the college football playoff, in terms of he lost the game, but he went off and really made people believer. And for me, for Hurts, it was like, all right, yeah, I know the Chiefs' defense not amazing, but isn't the best in the league. But, man, Jalen, like, in the biggest moment against the biggest, you know, it's a Super Bowl, and it doesn't really get any bigger than that, but also just the plays he did, just that one freak fumble, I'm sure that eats at him, but he's such a mentally tough guy. I think he's going to be just fine. I do not worry about the Eagles overall as a team with the Super Bowl hangover, and he's a big reason why. I think his demeanor is amazing, his ability as a passer, so yeah, obviously as a runner, just how he sees the field and leads a football team, so I have no problem with him being at number four. Like I said, if I was in the spot, I may have put him there. I'm not positive I would have, but I would have. If you hadn't picked him at number four, I would definitely be picking him at number five.
Well, so now we continue the theme here. I think I know you're picking at number five. It could be a little bit of debate, but I think that, again, my guess is you're going Justin Herbert at number five.
Yeah, the other guys I throw into this next group that I would, at least think about. And it's been a minute since we've seen him on the field. Lamar Jackson, though, I think with that, you know, this season, I'm so excited to see what, especially with Odell, if he's going to be healthy, with the other, players they brought in. I think he's still elite when he's on the field. I think Trevor Lawrence obviously took a huge step forward. I think Aaron Rodgers still has a lot in the tank, even though last year wasn't exactly pretty. But beyond all that, I mean, Herbert is a cyborg, just like some of these other guys on this list. And a guy that at times you want there's a certain moments of games, and as much as a lot's made of the play calling and some of the Chargers charging with some of the blown leads and different, not even all blown leads, but things that have happened weird in late games. I mean, I was looking back at like the last four games against the Chiefs, and I believe they've lost all of them. They've all been so close, and there's little things, great plays that he makes, and then there'll be like one thing that goes wrong. But I still just think that, you know, at times he should have a playoff win if they were able to run the football, and it wasn't even just necessarily the play calling, but they just literally had gotten to a place where they were not able to do so really well. And obviously the defense at times is built for a reason to allow things underneath. And anyway, it's all snowballed, obviously, and Charger fans are trying their best to move on. If any fan base is able to move on from heartbreak and still be loyal, it's the Chargers, I think. But I just think that, yeah, Herbert is – he has that ability, and you watch some of the throws he makes, and he's really efficient for the most part. And has competed, like we mentioned, with the even though he's lost some of these games to Mahomes and the Chiefs, they've been right there. And at some point, you feel like it's going to turn the other way. And yeah, as you mentioned, Kellen Moore coming in, how far does that elevate him? I know a lot of the criticism last year and a lot of the stagnant things were kind of put on the coaching staff. So now that you have a coach like Kellen in place to kind of lead that offense with him, I think there's going to be a little bit more pressure, or at least expectations are that now it's like, all right, this is on Herbert more so to see how this works. They still have all their really talented skill players. They didn't lose Eckler. They didn't lose any of the receivers. They draft Quentin Johnson. I mean, yeah, things are fully on him, and I think he's going to have just a fantastic year. He's such a fun guy to watch. It's just cutting out those some of those plays in between that I think that you've seen maybe, and at times also with Allen, but at least with Burrow and Mahomes, those guys have just, what's so amazing about them is their ability to just every play to snap to snap to snap, be on and just not make those kind of errors. And when they do, responding maybe quicker at times. And I think Herbert's ability is all there, right? That's why at this point, number five for him, it makes sense for me with the group behind him. I just, even though some of these guys have playoff wins and obviously a Super Bowl win with Rodgers, even if that was quite a while ago, and including the quarterback that just beat Herbert in that playoff game last year, I just think that, yeah, his ceiling and where he's already gone to as a player, I think that he's deserving of the number five spot.
Well, here we are again. Number six, trying to figure out exactly where I want to go at this one. Yeah, I sort of expected that to be our top five. Again, I didn't know exactly what the order would be beyond one, but I figured those would be the top five guys we'd ultimately choose. And like you said, it's not to say the other guys behind them that we're going to list off are not in that mm-hmm. same category, but I just felt like that was, I don't know if clear is the right word, but I do think that was a pretty strong consensus top five there with those guys. But now things get interesting, because I think from here you can certainly make the argument for some of these guys. And I think, you know, as we said, we're ranking these guys coming into this season, so you're having to, you know, figure out exactly where guys at. That makes it hard for me with Aaron Rodgers, because I'm like, all right, like you said, we've seen slip a little bit, but at the same time it's like, would I still take Aaron Rodgers over even a surging Trevor Lawrence? Would I take him over Lamar Jackson right now? I mean, honestly, Dylan, I keep coming back to it, and I'm like, I might still do that. And it's, again, I think it's just going to be so fascinating, because this year is going to obviously tell us a lot, right, about mm-hmm. where things are at. And I think it's really hard to know, though. And so I think it's maybe this is kind of a pick somewhat based off of history, but at the same yeah. time, you know, we are kind of, again, going into a new season, and you're kind of turning the page a little bit too. And if you're doing that, I still think Aaron Rodgers probably has enough in the tank for me to find a way to keep him inside of our top six in this ranking, even if it's not an easy decision probably for me between him and Trevor Lawrence or him and Lamar Jackson. So I'll go Aaron Rodgers here, but yeah. Not a strong opinion one way or the other when it comes to maybe how to rank these three guys, which I think will probably be the next three guys on our list.
Yeah, I think so. At least for me, they are. I think you could throw Dak into that mix of somewhere, and I wouldn't be mad if he beat out one of the other guys. But yeah, with Aaron Rodgers, he did just win a couple MVPs right before last year, and obviously the situation with the Jets, very different. The offensive line, I wouldn't say is maybe not for sure going to be as good as what Green Bay had. I know that Bakhtiari, obviously all the injuries last year, they had a lot of guys. The Packers do a great job drafting, developing along that line to even when guys go down, they seem to figure it out. The Jets have potential to have a really good offensive line. I just don't know if that's going to be the case. It's relying on a lot of health. But the skill position players, I mean, obviously Garrett Wilson, you see what Aaron did for years with an elite receiver. Not saying Garrett, you know, Devontae is on a different level. Maybe Garrett can get to that level. He was fantastic last year to start his career. And I think that you know, ability, though, for Aaron to have a guy that he develops chemistry with, it already appears they're doing so early in camp. And obviously Rodgers actually going to all the offseason programs, something he hadn't done in a while, I think bodes well. But at the end of the day, with the overall Jets success, obviously we're talking about top quarterbacks, but still, when's the last time Rodgers had a top 10 defense? I would say maybe the year that they won the Super Bowl. I know they were first in total yards that year on defense. And then immediately, even when they went 15-1 the year after, were much worse, one of the bottom defenses in the league. And then it's always been kind of middling there. So, you know, he's done a lot with when he's had to really, and over the course of his career. I mean, if you look at all the playoff defeats he's had, a lot, for the most part, those games are ones where the defense has not played fantastic, maybe outside of their the crazy comeback by the Seahawks in the NFC title game, where that one maybe you could put a little more on the offense. But yeah, I still think with the, like you said, you're looking more so projecting a bit here and still believing in what's in the tank. It just felt like things had run the course last year. We talked about it, and he talked about it going into that offseason. Maybe they waited 1 year too long to move forward. Maybe it was the right time for the Packers, even if it wasn't for Rodgers, to wait one more year to give Jordan Love a bit more time to get ready there. But now, yeah, he seems reinvigorated, obviously. If he can stay healthy, I have no reason to believe he won't be one of the top quarterbacks in the league. And again, it's the AFC, man. We have Jalen on this list, but it's the fact that Rodgers moved from the with the Packers to the Jets, just more consolidation of power on this side, and really even in this division. With I don't know if he's going to make our top 10, but Tua is definitely on the borderline. If he's in the game, I mean, with how efficient he was last year, just staying on the field has been an issue there. But yeah, this division's ridiculous, and I think with the weapons that Rodgers does have with the Jets, and obviously reconnecting with Nathaniel Hackett, yeah, it's there's reasons to believe that even though the system, I don't think they should completely go away from some of the things that worked out in Green Bay, that maybe Aaron was resistant to it when LaFleur first took over, over time worked out quite well for him, but it will be a little less motion, a little more drop back, a little more of the stuff that he liked to do in the earlier years of the McCarthy system, and we'll see how it works out. But I think, yeah, I have no problem with, you know, if this was last year's list, we probably had Aaron in the top two or three for a reason. And I don't think just one bad year, we would have to kind of build up on that to drop him too far down this list, especially with the fact that, yeah, Lawrence, the guys we're mentioning right after here, right? Lawrence has only had one real, you know, had the first year that was kind of crazy with Urban, and then obviously last year came on but wasn't necessarily perfect all year. Really, the second half of the season was much better, and then Lamar needs to stay on the field. It's been kind of a minute since we've seen his greatness. So I think when you think there's no like certainty with this group, it's not like the other two guys are like sure things to have fantastic dominant seasons, especially again because they're both in the AFC playing against all these other top quarterbacks. So I think Rodgers makes a lot of sense in this spot for sure.
All right, so I finally feel like I flipped the board on you a little bit here. Because now I'm forcing you to make an actual decision. Because I feel like the first three you've had to make have been very easy decisions. You got to actually think about this one. So number seven is up next. It's your pick here. And as we said, I think this is where you start getting into that, you know, that territory of we could have made a case for Trevor Lawrence. We could have made a case for Lamar Jackson to be higher. Like you said, you could put Dak in that conversation. Maybe a couple other guys we're forgetting. That may come up by the time we finish our top 10. But this is where, like we said, I don't think there's a lot that separates these guys, but I'm very curious to see who you ultimately settle on it at number seven, because I think it will finally make my decision a little bit easier when we get to number eight.
Yeah, I think, like you said, it's finally flipped. This is definitely one of the tougher ones. I think, yeah, depending on which list you look at from any sports media website out there writing about this, they're going to be flipped. It's going to be like a 50-50 who's going to be ahead of the other. I just, as much as I love Trevor, and I think that he has potential to just completely elevate to that, you know, that list of all these other great young quarterbacks that we've been talking about at the top of the list, to really be like, all right, he's right there alongside Herbert and Allen and these guys at the and that group. Not going to say anyone's going to get to Mahomes' level, but I think that Trevor definitely has the potential to be in the top five the next time we do this list. But at the moment, I know he's been off the field so much, but I mean, it's just Lamar, when he's healthy, they were still so good last year. And I when he was on the field, things, and you see obviously with the offense how different it is, even with some of the things Huntley was able to kind of piece together. They very much could have beaten the Bengals in the first round, and feel like they probably should have before that fumble at the goal line there. But when he's on the field, and especially with some weapons, I just am really excited to see what Lamar does. Obviously, with Todd Monken coming over from Georgia, I think that that's going to be a fresh kind of thing here. I think also having his contract in place now, that kind of uncertainty that maybe was lingering the last couple of years and has been a part of the thinking, even if he really wanted to play. Obviously, the injury stuff, will it be a little bit of a difference maker now that he feels comfortable with all the guarantees that are in place? I don't know exactly how much that really played into to missing games, or if his, you know, sounds more also like he was quite literally hurt. And that is a concern. And that is the part here where it's like, I wouldn't blame anyone for putting Trevor above Lamar for a couple of those reasons, but we still haven't seen Trevor play at the peak of what Lamar has when Lamar is really cooking. And now obviously they also add, in addition to Odell, Zay Flowers. We'll see if you know, if Bateman can stay on the field. I still think there's more on the tank there and more potential there. And I think just with Monken in general, I have more confidence in what he's going to kind of bring to an offense that also maybe had run its course with Greg Roman and some of the things that a lot of people thought, oh, they made a system fit for Lamar and it's the reason for his success. And that's probably partially true for his MVP season. And it's still Lamar Jackson. I still think he's a really talented passer. If you actually watch the film of it all, I mean, this man is, if you're on following all the junkies on football Twitter that helped me piece together this kind of stuff, it's quite clear that Lamar is a really talented passer, maybe super deep down the field, but in the intermediate to deep kind of 20 to 30 yard ranges. He's quite accurate, and obviously what he can do off when he needs to running the football. I just think that things are going to open up a bit more, maybe less designed runs, but things where he's still going to be able to take off because the team has the right answer for the passing play that they have, but then they don't have an ability to kind of have an answer for him. So just stay on the field. Maybe he'll take less hits also with kind of the way that things are going to develop. So I still am a huge believer in Lamar. Still, I think I'm as excited to watch him as I've been since his MVP season with some of the weapons they have and a new offensive coaching staff. So I'll give him the slight edge here, even if it might look foolish, because I do think after this season, because I do think Trevor has that trajectory where don't be shocked if he's putting up ridiculous numbers in year three in 2023.
Yeah, and that's why, like you said, I think that makes it a little easier for me to put him at number eight. I think that's where I would go, because like we said, I think you can certainly make the argument, you know, to even put him as high as six and, you know, all these guys kind of in that similar range, but it's just that now you're just looking for Trevor Lawrence to, you know, start putting more of those seasons together, like we've seen from an Aaron Rodgers, like we've seen from Lamar Jackson. So, you know, I think, though, the trajectory is pretty clear with him, too, and seems to be headed nowhere but up. And so, yeah, that's why I'll easily go with Trevor Lawrence at number eight and probably not have much of a debate on that for me. So,
yeah, absolutely. For all the reasons I kind of talked about him before, but I think that, yeah, Trevor is just a different kind of level of talent. I know there was all the hype of the highest, most hyped incoming quarterback since Andrew Luck, and maybe that wasn't always completely fair. And even was that even fair to Andrew Luck when you compared him to some of the previous guys? But just obviously with as he got comfortable with the system, with all the weapons they put around him, and a competent coaching staff, it was quite clear that Trevor has the ability. Almost beat the Chiefs. I mean, that was a pretty close game for a while against Kansas City. He put, they're right there. So there's no reason, even if you have some concerns about some parts of that roster regressing, I've I have very few concerns about him regressing as a quarterback. So even if other parts go down, I think he's going to elevate them. So he makes a lot of sense at number 8, and I'll just jump right into number 9. I'm putting Dak here. This was what I basically, before we started, I was like, oh, he's number 9. Like, it's just, I had that top 8 in some order in my head. And there's guys that maybe you could argue are deserving to be in the spot instead. I just think he's right after this group. He's right on this next tier where he's I wouldn't say he's the quote unquote elite, but he's definitely really good. Sometimes against really tough defenses, we've seen him struggle against the Niners the last couple of playoffs. But we've seen him also, have that just complete butt whooping of the Vikings last year where they won like 40-3. They had the game on Thanksgiving, or if it was at least close to Thanksgiving, where they beat the Eagles. Even though the Eagles, I believe, had Gardner Minshew playing that game, they still put up a lot of points. So it forced Dallas to still put up a crooked number, and they managed to do so against a Philly defense that didn't have that happen to them quite all that often last year. So you see the highs. He had that. I thought he played great against the Bucs. Even though the Bucs weren't the same team as the previous two seasons, their defense was still quite good last year, and he had no problem. Obviously, their offensive line took a step forward, but. I think that he's still right on this list. And if Tony Pollard doesn't go down in that game against the Niners, he was one of the kind of X factors that seemed to be helping Dallas open some things up. That definitely played a role. And maybe we're talking about a much different conversation around Dak if they manage to beat San Francisco there. I still think he's, I know he has some detractors, and obviously the Cowboys on the internet at least get more of the blame more of the hate than most teams seem to do. And as a result, it kind of falls on Dak a lot of the time. But I think he's still really deserving of being in the top 10 and comfortably at this number 9 spot. I feel pretty good about it.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, now I've got to figure out who we're going to leave off the list, because we only have one spot left at number 10. And I think this is such an interesting debate because, I mean, all right. So let me just narrow this down and you and I both may co-make this pick, because I think it's interesting to kind of look at the choices that you have here. So, by the way, let me just say, isn't it wild that Russell Wilson is not in this conversation for me?
I haven't even mentioned him, yeah.
But isn't that it's change. Just, it's so wild, right? Like, just think about how wild that is and how much last season could really just, it was that bad. Like, even if it's not even half that bad, like, he's probably still in this conversation, but because it was so bad, we're not even debating that right now. So, to me, I think Tua's in the conversation. I think that, I mean, someone else that obviously, did not have best year, injuries played, but I think Matthew Stafford's in there. I mean, I think we got to remember we're still not that far away from, leading to a Super Bowl. And we've always talked about, like, I feel like he's always kind of been on our list somewhere. Even when it was with the Lions, he just felt like he just didn't get enough love for that. Honestly, beyond that, I mean, I think that's probably the cutoff for me.
No Captain Kirk?
Look.
I think about him in this range. But.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's the – maybe it's the Netflix effect of Kirk. I mean, he seems like one of those guys that's just very easy to root for. But I still feel like I'd put him behind both of those guys. And again, whether that's fair or unfair, too, because like you said, I think you could have the debate about, well, there's no Justin Jefferson. What does that look like? But you could say that about a lot of guys, perhaps. I think that I'd probably honestly bring it down to those two. And I'm trying to look at who else would maybe even be in the conversation. I think I've seen, some people, like you said, I think Cousins would certainly be in there. Geno Smith obviously had a breakthrough year. Daniel Jones, I don't know if I'd put him necessarily just in the same tier with these couple guys. Jared Goff obviously had a bounce back year. Fields is trending up, I think, but I don't think I'd put him in the top 10. So, honestly, this is one of those that I think if you're going into this best case scenario, if you're trying to put that with all these guys, and I'm trying to say who in the best case scenario do I put at this number 10 spot?
Yeah.
I think I would probably bring it down to either Tua or Matthew Stafford. I think that would be the two that I would narrow my choices down to. The Tua stuff's just hard, right? Well, I mean, in both, in their different ways, like, honestly, Dylan, like, both are somewhat in that injuries have played such a big role at times. And that's why I think it's really hard to kind of separate these two. But the one thing that does separate these two is the fact that Matthew Stafford has won a Super Bowl now. And, you know, again, like if that's kind of some of the criteria, and we've seen that. Like, yes, he had good players around him. But, again, think about, like, that was – I mean, we talked about some of the performances he had throughout that season and getting them to that point. So I know the Rams had such a – it was just a throwaway year, essentially. But I don't think we can forget what he's been over the long haul, right? And to a little more inconsistent last season, like we said, we know the injury situation, that kind of stuff played a factor. And it's really hard for me to leave him off a top 10 list, but I may have an even harder time leaving a Matthew Stafford off. So I'm going to go Stafford at 10. And like I said, it's a hard choice, but I'm going to give the nod to Stafford here at number 10.
I mean, he was probably in, I think we had him like at number 7 or somewhere around there last year, maybe even a little higher, because, you know, we felt like when they won the Super Bowl, as much as he had that team compared to, it's crazy what the Rams roster is compared to just 2 years ago. But you felt like, yeah, he had a really good defense around him. He had a lot of weapons, had an offensive line that I think most rankings had them in the top 10, and just watching them, it was a pretty good unit. But he still was a difference between them bowing out in the second round against Tampa, bowing out against San Francisco, even if he did have the one drop pick by Jaquaski Tartt, and then obviously the Super Bowl. He made just so many crucial. Those three games are going to always be his legacy, especially for the for all Lions fans that believed in him for all those years and knew that what he was capable of. It was so cool to watch them kind of jump on the bandwagon with the Rams during that run. I think that if he can stay healthy, and I mean all the things going in, at least a lot of the reporting from Jordan Rodriguez and all the great Rams reporters that we're lucky to have in LA. Has been about, you know, he really wasn't healthy. As much as they tried to downplay it going into 2022, he really was not in a kind of a physical place to be ready to go. And then obviously all the hits that he took, the offensive line injuries that we discussed, everything that went wrong with the Rams last year, I think it all just kind of compiled a little bit of mental fatigue for McVay and the offense overall, and the inability to adjust to some of these things that happened. All of it kind of compiled to a season that, obviously, the Rams would like to move on from. But like you said, when he's on the field and when he's fully healthy with everything in place, with a good offensive line, I mean, yeah, we've seen Tua have success, but we have, and obviously he's been in the league much shorter amount of time, but obviously we have seen Stafford just put up ridiculous numbers and then also lead a Super Bowl run, and I think there is something to be said for that. And you know, again, it's kind of like where it's different than the Rodgers situation, but where I say, like, all right, one year of kind of being down on stats is one thing, and obviously much more health reason here and with Stafford than Rodgers. But let's see it a second year. I still think he deserves to be in this spot, and I may have gone a different way, but I think that he was, you know, some of these lists that going into this I looked at had him like at the 18 spot or 17.
Yeah.
A lot of them then have him though right after the top 10 or in the top 10. And I tend to agree more with that kind of range, even if he's not my number 10 guy at the moment. I still think he's capable of being much higher for the reasons you mentioned. And that's why it's, I do understand the pick. I think, like you said, Tua for sure in that range. I think Kirk, I do wonder about, not just because of the Netflix stuff, but like if he's in a situation like Stafford, that was kind of a thing, obviously, that was made a lot of going into that 2021 season because of the time that Kirk had spent with McVay in Washington. Was that the guy that Shanahan in San Francisco and McVay in LA really wanted? But I just think that the difference is Stafford is just does make enough things happen off platform, does make it just kind of finds ways. Obviously the no look pass when it's the wrong, as McVay has talked about, the wrong play call for that coverage, everything was exactly schemed up perfectly by Cincinnati and he still made it happen. I mean, that's kind of what Stafford brings to a level that, yeah, as much as I do love Tua, and I think that I really trust Mike McDaniel, and I think that the Dolphins are going to be one of the more fun teams this year. I can't wait for the AFC East episode. But I just don't know when things are not going right. I mean, I think of the Charger game when they had kind of all the answers last year, and he had an awful performance. Just against some of these defenses that have really gone off. He played well against Buffalo, obviously, early in the year. But I haven't seen maybe that kind of like ability to win things do break down to make it all work yet. That could be something that happens in 2023. He's going to have a lot of chances too. Other guys that maybe have a chance to like possibly break into this top 10, if Deshaun Watson and the Browns.
That's
the
who I was going to say. I think he's the wild card of this list.
He is, 100%.
Because we knew coming back last season, he was not going to be what he was however many years ago it was, right? Like, it's we knew it was not just going to be pick up and here he goes again. We knew it was going to be a process. But if that process now going into this season, if he gets closer to that, like, he's absolutely going to be in the top 10. And I thought he was the one that – I don't think you can put him on there right now, but it would not shock us at all if he winds up being in the top 6 or 7 on this list somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. It's just a matter of we need to see it. It's just a lot of the potential. We know where he was for us for so long on these lists, but it's just I need that. That is like more of I really need to wait. It's just such a different thing with the amount of time it's been. But yeah, he's the wild card. I think there's a chance it's going to be another episode I can't wait to do is the AFC North one. So I think he's in that range. But yeah, I think Stafford is the guy for me. I'm trying to think of anyone, though, that could break. I do agree with you at number 10. I think ultimately I may have made the same line of thinking eventually. But trying to think of like other guys that have a chance to get in the top 10 that are like more of the wild cards, like you mentioned with Deshaun. Do you think if the Lions are the number 2 seed in the NFC that Jared Goff could be considered, or are we going to look at the Lions and say, all right, this roster is the reason, it's a system kind of thing, which has been something that's not necessarily always been fair to Jared. I think at times that's been true, but other times did play quite well with those Rams teams before the rest of the league kind of caught up to what they were doing, thanks to Belichick and team and Fangio, I guess, before that. But yeah, maybe Fields if he takes a huge step. But yeah, it's I think the most interesting part of this conversation has been this some of the decisions between like 2 and 3 and then that group in the middle, but then now this next group on the outside, who has a chance to break in? It's definitely a lot of names, but I guess we'll find out. Gotta wait for the games to start.
Yep, we will see if this list is justified once the games actually begin, and as we said, not that far away now before that happens. And of course, we'll start previewing all the different divisions and make all our picks for the upcoming 2023 season in the NFL. And so, Dylan, until then, a lot of stuff over at Clutch Points to get everybody ready for the season and let everybody know where they can find all that.
Yeah, you can go to clutchpoints.com to the NFL section. Tons of training camp previews, positional battle articles that we've written. We prepped a lot of fantasy stuff that we're just starting to pump out this week now. We'll wait to do some of our bigger, longer fantasy rankings probably along the same time of when we'll do our fantasy preview here on the podcast. But yeah, looking at just more of the player outlook, starting to get you at least get into the right mindset as you start to mentally prepare for your drafts down the line. As I always say, wait till after the preseason. Do not do anything until all the injuries, or at least for the most part, are kind of the dust is settled. But go to clutchpoints.com there to the NFL section, and also the NFL section of the Clutch Points app. Tons of stuff, all that same kind of stuff, all the news, this is a good time of year. One of my favorite times of the football calendars, the month leading up to the NFL and college football seasons. There's just so much hope, so much optimism, so many fun things coming out of all these camps, and obviously excited for Hard Knocks with the Jets. That's going to be a pretty interesting team to follow. I'm kind of glad it landed on there, but we'll have all that coverage too on Clutch Points in the NFL section.
Yeah, be sure to check it all out there, and of course, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Any podcast app you use, search for Establish the Pass. And thanks as always for listening to the podcast, and we'll talk to you next time here on the Establish the Pass podcast.